Dr. Joy Brown dispensed advice to troubled callers from coast to coast. She died on Saturday, according to her sister Alana Sinclair. During a phone call the two were having, Sinclair said on Facebook, quoting, "The phone suddenly disconnected. Her heart had stopped as well." Brown was 71. I'm Wyatt Cox.
Defense Secretary Ash Carter calling out the Turkish government as well as Kurdish forces.
We've called on both sides to not fight with one another, to continue to focus the fight on ISIL. That's the basis of our cooperation with both of them.
The Turkish government in the last few days had been targeting Kurdish forces that have been supplied by the U.S. to fight against ISIS. The Turkish government still considers the Kurds a threat to their government. More news online at USARadio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
I have to admit, sometimes when I'm out on a balcony, I get a little bit nervous as to whether it's going to hold up, and stories like this do not help my little fear on that at all. Here's Scott Pringle.
There's brick, sheetrock, and debris all over the place. Officials say at least six brick balconies gave way from a three-story building on Shore Road shortly before 8 a.m. Now, Long Beach's fire chief says a construction company had been setting up scaffolding to do brick repair. Not sure if that was a factor, and no word on the cause yet. No one was injured. Engineers are now checking on the stability of the building, which has dozens of apartments. Scott Pringle, New York.
New Yorkers are responding to Clinton aide Huma Abedin finally leaving disgraced Congressman Anthony Weiner. Here's the story from Chris Barnes.
It's like a serial philanderer at this point.
She should have done it a long time ago.
New Yorkers responding to word that Hillary Clinton's aide, Huma Abedin, is separating from her husband, disgraced former Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner, after Weiner engages in more sexting with other women. Noted divorce lawyer Corey Rosenbaum asked whether this will hurt Hillary Clinton's campaign, as Abedin's a longtime aide and currently is co-chair of Clinton's White House run.
No, in fact, I think it's going to affect her positive. Positively. I mean, you have a very strong, extremely well-educated, well-spoken woman who is standing up for herself. I think she handled everything right.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news and in-depth analysis, check out westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Hey, it's Joe Peters with Weikert in Clinton, New Jersey, and I'm here today with David Watts. David had two different sessions with me on his book. Say hello, David.
Pleasure to be with you again,
hey,
Joe.
Yeah, and I found that David also does identity theft, so I'm not sure. I do two shows here. One is Real Estate Matters, and one is 55 Plus, and I'm not sure which one this pertains to. It's just an interesting subject matter, so I've asked David to come back, and we're going to talk about identity theft from an ex-policeman detective's viewpoint. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. Before we get started, they asked me if I would do the weather, and it's not too bad. We're sort of coming out of it. Summer is almost over. It's going to be a decent weekend, I understand, although we're going to get some rain on Thursday. There's this front offshore that's going to go ripping through, and right now we're sitting at about 85 degrees. It's hot out if you go out and get in the sun, but I go out walking in the morning, and it's pretty nice until about 8 or 9 o'clock anymore, and it was even too hot to walk at some point. So we're coming out of it, and by the end of the weekend, when we get into Saturday is the 3rd, we're talking about a 77 high. On Sunday, we're talking about a 74 high. It's over. You know what? Kids going back to school. I remember when I stood on a street corner for the first day of school, we usually had a light jacket on, and I think we're pretty close to it. So let me play a few commercials, and we'll be back with David, and we'll get into identity theft.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, Parent Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, it's Joe Peters. I'm back with David Watts, and let's say hello again, David.
Again, pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, say goodnight, Gracie. Hello, David.
Yes.
David is a very interesting background. We've had two different previous shows with David covering both halves of his book. The first half was when he was a police officer, and the second half was when he was a detective that he graduated to after becoming a police officer. And if you really would like to take a look at it, it's in most of the bookstores. It's Accidental
PI.
It's an enjoyable read. It brings back what happened in the 60s and 70s and through his career, and I'd highly recommend it. But it's not what we're going to talk about today. If you'd like to see more about that, go to my 55 Plus page, and there's a couple of recordings on that, and you can just replay them. Today we're going to talk about identity theft. It seems to be getting bigger and bigger and more urgent and more urgent, and I hear that a lot of people go to file their income tax and find things are different.
Yes, absolutely.
Where's the spot that identity theft gets found the most?
Oh, it's throughout the whole spectrum of U.S. living. In fact, around the world.
Okay.
15 million people a year fall victim to identity theft, to the tune of about $30 billion.
Wow.
And over the past decade, there have been 100 million people. Who have been victims, and I know there's only 300 million of us. Well, approximately a third of us have become victim over the past decade from in one way or another. And if you have been a past victim, you are 10 times more likely to be victimized again.
Wow. Yeah. How do the – you know, I've read the articles, and they say now people go to file their taxes and find they've already been filed. And when they look into it, they find their identity's been stolen. That's just one example, but it's probably a pretty common one.
Well, yeah, the IRS, what will happen is they'll – if you don't file early –
right.
If you wait till the last minute, there's more of a chance you becoming an identity theft victim through your IRS form. What'll happen is the bad guys get a hold of your Social Security number,
right?
And they file a phony return, and they get maybe a $2,000 rebate in this phony return,
mm-hmm.
and then you go and file yours, and the IRS sends you a notice saying. We've already paid you that $2,000, so the thing you have to do there is immediately contact him. Now, I know that contact with the IRS, as far as people are concerned, is at best unpleasant.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you call the IRS and you say, "I believe I'm a victim of identity theft," the mood changes. You get switched to another unit. And they are extremely helpful.
Wow.
And I'm not one to promote the IRS. But in this particular instance, their unit is very, very helpful. And they'll do everything they can to help you.
Very interesting.
Yes.
So I've always been told, and I work for department stores in IT, and I've written the credit card systems and interfaces and whatever. And the three things are Social Security number, date of birth, and then your name and address. With those three, you can apply for a credit card. So I find it very, very disturbing that so many people ask you for your Social Security number anymore. And I know in my case, because I'm on Medicaid, I say, well, you don't need my Social Security. You've got my – though your Medicaid is your Social Security number. I'm not going to – you know, it's not like I'm going to apply for credit back through you. I will pay you when I leave the door.
Well, the thing, Joe, is that privacy's dead.
Yeah.
Privacy died quite a while ago, and privacy went down as technology went up,
okay.
If you look at the graph. And today, all of our information is out there. When you have to give up your Social Security number to your doctor or to the hospital and your date of birth, and you have to give this information up, it doesn't go into a filing cabinet with 3x5 cards cross-referencing anymore.
Right.
It goes into a computer. It goes into the cloud,
yep.
And then it's pulled back when they want it. Well, the trouble is, it's not difficult for technically savvy people to jump right into that cloud. That's called hacking. They get that information, and then they sell the information to guys that really know how to use it.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
Interesting, because I know several times I've gotten notified by my credit card carrier that your information may have been hacked. In one case, they gave me a stipend to go out and get credit card protection, which I still carry. So I guess they discover when a whole company, I remember Target not too long ago had a lot of bad press, but there's others, and it's not just Target. What happens when something like that happens?
It's interesting you bring up the subject of Target.
Right.
Because Target in 2013, that was the first really breach that took place. And let me tell you a little bit about that. What happened with the Target breach was they had in effect a very, very good system. It was called FireEye,
mm-hmm.
one word, FireEye. And it was intended to put an immediate stop and notification that something was going wrong. So a plumber working as a vendor for Target was hacked by this young Russian over in Stalingrad, and he was able to get into that plumber's computer. He was able to hack into his system. And while he was there, it was just random, and he started rooting around, and he saw that plumber was a vendor for Target.
Okay.
So there was a direct flow through the little bytes and so forth right into Target's mainframe.
Mm-hmm.
So he put this, he put his little system there, his little malware into into Target's mainframe, and he waited. It was between Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2013. He waited. He waited. And when the Christmas sales were at their highest, he struck. He activated. He started pulling out all of the Social Security numbers, dates of birth, names, and addresses of of people who had charged at Target.
Right.
No debit cards, because debit cards come right out of your bank account.
Right.
But where their credit cards were involved, he pulled all this information out. Now, bells and whistles went off because of FireEye.
Yeah.
And the bells and whistles were heard at a station in India, which Target had handling it for them.
Okay.
Target, those people in India immediately notified Target on the ground here in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing.
Wow.
They just didn't either believe it. They weren't paying attention or whatever. 3 days later, the FBI called and said, you know, you guys, what are you guys doing about this breach that has happened? They didn't know anything about it. So it was millions of dollars. Millions of dollars went out, and millions of people were affected by it. Target is still trying to recover from that.
Yeah, I think they got some extremely bad press. And Target's a really great company. It used to have a different name. I remember what it was. It was the big Minneapolis department store.
Exactly.
They changed their name to Target over the years.
But it seems to be the poster boy for corporate corporate breaches, the data breaches. Now, we've had many, many, many since then.
Right. And they don't go away. And you see it in the movies, in the murder mystery kind of movies, where they keep setting the alarm off, and eventually somebody just shuts the alarm off because, okay, now the alarm's off, I can break in. It's there was something like the Hope Diamond or something. They would just have this.
Well, it just goes to show you that no matter what kind of technical system you have up going and running for you, in the end, it's human attention that either is there or not.
Right.
And that's the ball game with Target.
I know what I've done personally, and I can't say that I'm not vulnerable, but I think it's probably a step more than anybody else. I use, forget what, it's TransUnion or one of those free.
Experian, TransUnion, or Equifax, right?
It's Equifax. It's $9.95, and I don't know if it's still $9.95 because I may be grandfathered in at an old price, but if it's twice that, it's a lot. It's probably $14.95 today. And they will tell me if any credit card goes up or down by N%. I put the N in. And to me, and they'll also tell me a credit card got opened in my name. To me, that's basic protection. I get an email in the morning. If I pay my credit card bill off and I pay more than 10%, I get an email the next morning saying you've just decreased your credit amount. So it gives me some early warning. I'm not sure it's enough protection, but it's better than I think most people have.
Well, for one thing, I have to tell you that identity theft can't be prevented.
Right.
They use that word prevention, and it cannot be prevented. What you're talking about there is, okay, somebody's in the chicken house, but they're already there. Yeah. The fox is already in the chicken house, and he's done something. And you can put a fraud or a freeze alert on your credit so that if anything more comes along, it will be denied immediately. So you might have to change your credit card number and so forth. But it's not just about credit cards. Identity theft goes much further than credit cards. It goes into medical identity theft and business identity theft. There's a lot more to it than people think credit cards. My brother Bill, is a great guy. But I talked to him a little bit on the phone about identity theft. He says, oh, I have LifeLock. Don't worry. I don't worry about it at all. Pete, my nickname. Right. He says, I pay my $10 a month and I'm protected. But you're not protected from all identity theft. You know, it just doesn't protect you completely. It's it's like an early warning system, but nothing more.
Because one of them, I don't know if it's LifeLock, the CEO has his Social Security number in their advertisements. He says,
Oh, you remember that? He drove around Manhattan with it on the side of the truck. Well, let me tell you about LifeLock.
Okay.
Let me tell you about LifeLock. There are many, many different kinds of identity theft, quote, end quote, protection. Mm-hmm. LifeLock has 59 federal lawsuits against it. In 2010, They were fined $12 million for false advertising. In 2015, by 2015, they were back at it again. Now they were fined $100 million. $68 million of that was to be rebated to people. Mm-hmm. But the 2015 complaint by the feds, the Federal Trade Commission, was for failing to keep client records secure. Now, this is a company that advertises to protect you against identity theft, and they were failing to keep those very records secure.
Your guardian needs guardianship.
I mean, it's just incredible. They have the best commercials on television, the funniest commercials, the most attractive commercials possible, and you really don't see anybody else advertising against them.
Yeah.
I use Identity Force,
and
I think it's the best.
Identity Force.
Yeah, they're very good. But LifeLock, if you fall for the marketing, then you fall for the marketing.
Wow.
But it's the reality isn't there.
So tell me what the average person should start doing tomorrow morning in order to protect themselves.
The first thing that they should do is every 3 months, every 4 months actually, check your credit.
Right.
And you can do it free. You can do that free for www.annualcreditreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
And just rotate it. Every 4 months, you do it with another one. Mm-hmm. You just get online and you do it. And it's a little uncomfortable because at first you have to give them your Social Security number and your date of birth and so forth. But they are trustworthy. www.annualcreditreport.com. And you look for inquiries. You look for anything that doesn't fit what you know to be you, okay? I see my vehicle lease on there, and I see different things that I'm acquainted with. But if I see something on there that doesn't look right, now I know I have a problem. And I check that every 4 months. That's one thing they can do. Another thing they can do is, as you say, try not to give a minimum amount of information out to anybody. Another thing you can do is to be sure to have an off-site repository for your back files, for your computer. I use Carbonite, but there are different kinds you can use. Now, I was hit with EncryptoLocker, which is ransomware.
Right.
I came down one morning, opened up my office, and opened up the computer, and I got this scrambled lettering and figures that nobody could figure out.
Yep.
And then a window popped up and said, pay us $300, we'll give you your computer back. Luckily, the guys that I used for IT were able to stop it from functioning, but they couldn't get my files back.
Yep.
I called Carbonite. They had all my files. They took about a day and a half. They reinstalled everything into my computer, and I was put back together again. So by all means, have some kind of an off-site backup system.
I know I'm an old IT guy. It's where I got half these gray hairs. And I firmly believe that no matter what computer you're on or phone you're on, and the phones, I just bought a new phone, the Note 7. It cost more than my laptop. I mean, it was $900 for a telephone, so because it's a computer. It's a phablet. They call it a phone and a tablet combined. You need everything in a cloud or in a backup system like Carbonite. Now, my technology guy says don't trust clouds. I got to think Microsoft's got a pretty foolproof cloud, but he said there's no guarantee it's going to be there tomorrow. And
well, let me just back up and agree with you that in today's technological, the way it's speeding up, it's ahead of us all the time. The bad guys are ahead of us. Yep. There's just no guarantee anywhere, but do the best you can. You know what I mean?
And I think I know when I went to two phones ago, or phone, I guess it was 2 years ago, I got my last phone. I went to Verizon, and she's okay. We'll load your data down. She said, "Wait a minute, there's no data on your phone." I said, "There's not supposed to be any data on your phone. That's what clouds are for." I mean, my email system is it's $5 a month for Microsoft, and I've got Outlook Server. and all my contacts, all my appointments, all my emails are in heaven with Microsoft. Computers and back. That's what I said. It's up there somewhere. See the clouds? That's where they And all my data is in a cloud. I have nothing on my tel. Now, there may be an instance on there so that you could do, they call it cache. You could work with it without having to retrieve it all the time. But once you're all done, it wipes out and it's up in the cloud. But I teach people internally at Weikert, and I say, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, sooner or later you're going to lose your phone or lose your computer, or even worse, they're just going to crash. And we don't have hard disks anymore. Most of the disk on the computers, it should be fast. It's like a big thumb drive, because once you get used to it, you never can go back to disk. It's too damn slow. But we don't have disks the way we used to, and the cloud storage is so inexpensive, there's no reason not to have it there. But most people are just a little ignorant. They don't know, and they don't want to know. And as a result, they're leaving themselves vulnerable.
Well, I think also, Joe, it depends upon how much they value the information on it.
Right.
I mean, if it's family photographs and Facebook stuff and things like this, that's one thing. But if you have a business and all your files, all your contacts, all your invoicing, all of your tax records, if everything is there, then that's really devastating if you haven't got it backed up.
Yep.
Now, family photographs and albums are important. And if they're that important, then for heaven's sakes, back them up.
Yep. You know, there's not a camera in the world today, a computerized camera, that when you take your picture, it can't be stored in the cloud.
Exactly.
And most people don't do that. And the pictures are probably your most cherished. They're memories. What are pictures? They're memories.
Well, I get them printed out, and then I don't worry about it. But that's,
oh, God, you are an old
man. Yes, I am. Yes.
I didn't want to use the word for it.
Well, I
am. I'm not sure I can use that on a radio.
I think you already did.
Yeah, okay. I'll put it back in.
But I think, you know, talking about the signs of identity theft, if you receive, which you asked me, if you received something from a collection agency that doesn't make any sense, as you said before, IRS notifications, medical services that you never ordered, okay? Linda Weaver came home one day and she had – this is true. She testified before Congress. She came home one day and she got a bill from a hospital she'd never gone to. So she called a hospital up and got bills payable, a bill, you know, that department invoices. And they said, oh, yes, Mrs. Weaver, you owe us $23,000. She said, I've never been to your hospital. And the conversation went on and on and on. So they switched her to medical records.
Yep.
And it started up the same thing. She said, I've never been to your hospital. So they said, Mrs. Weaver, it's when you had your left leg amputated. When I told this at one of my talks, somebody from the audience shouted out she didn't have a leg to stand on, which I thought was a really tacky thing to say in the middle of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't say it. He said
right.
But it took her quite a while through her attorney meeting with the hospital's attorney and trying to resolve this thing. And finally they did. But in the meantime, her credit was ruined because the hospital had already put her in for collection. One thing I do want to get out before we end, and whenever that is, but children are today issued social security numbers at birth.
Right.
I didn't get mine till I was 16 or 15 when I started to work. I'm sure you were the same way.
Yeah.
So they have these social security numbers and they're infants. All right. It may be 16, 17 years before that social security number is going to be really used.
Mm-hmm.
This gives a bad guy all that time to use that social security number and that identity all that time. So grandparents and parents who are listening today,
right,
put a freeze with all three bureaus on the child's social security number. Put a freeze on it so that if anything, any application for credit or anything takes place, it'll be denied immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had people in the audience, grandmothers in the audience, say, but wait a minute. No, I want to put money into the kid's account.
Right.
There's exceptions for that. You can still make deposits into the child's future, and you arrange it that way with the credit companies.
Okay.
But there's no reason for kids to have social security numbers in use. Now, sporting events, doctor's office, sure, I guess you're going to have to. But
I'll tell you what bothers me, David, is we've gone, because Marilyn had a few medical things that turned out to be trivial, but it's not trivial when it first happens. And he got a good check out. We went to a doctor, and he was able to pull up medical records across 5 years and about 20 different doctors. And I'm saying, if you can do that, who else can do that? That's sort of scary that information is there.
Right.
And I think, from my way of thinking, is that we're a little too public with information, but most of the times the doctors say, well, that's just part of Obamacare. I mean, that came along with the name. Sort of scary.
Well, it's a good thing for doctors to have access. I agree. You know, if you're in an accident and they figure out who your name is, all of a sudden they can pull your history up. You don't have to say a word because you're unconscious or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they're able to do that. The problem with it is that it is almost public.
Right.
In 2014, the U.S. attorney indicted 5 Chinese military people who were part of the People's Liberation Army. Now, I know people are going to think I'm getting wild here, but this is a fact. Building 61398 on Datong Road in Shanghai is a very nondescript building. It's a public building. The only thing is there's guys with machine guns standing at each door. Mm. And it is the office of the Red Chinese cyberspace, cybersecurity warfare center.
Hmm.
And what they've been doing now is going after companies like Lockheed, Coca-Cola, Johnson & Johnson to steal their proprietary information. So you may sometime in the future be drinking Coca-Cola with their very formula made in China.
Wow.
I mean,
it's a whole government.
Their whole thing is to defeat us any way they can in the future. And it's hacking.
Yep.
And it's going on. It's going on very, very much so all the time. Comey, the FBI director, said, James Comey, there's two kinds of companies, those who know they've been hacked and those who don't know.
Isn't that interesting? I'm telling you, we've had it, and most people have seen people get emails from other people, and a day or two later they'll send out a follow-up saying, that wasn't for me, I was hacked. We had a guy at work that left his computer on at our office, and in effect, he got up and he said, I just want to tell everybody what happened. And he said, you know, somebody came in and hacked it and sent out a note, and all these people were worried that we were stranded in South America and needed money, and we actually had a few people. And I'm saying, wait a minute, Bob, why are we listening to this story from a guy that got hacked? It seems to me you still don't understand what you should have done. And one of the things I've seen that's very effective is that you can put a password system on your computer. Now, okay, you could say that's the same thing. All the passwords are one place. But what it does is it shuts your computer down after about 10 or 20 minutes of inactivity. So it's not just sitting there waiting for somebody to get in and hack. And even if it is up and running, and you set the time frame again, it asks for a master password. And if you don't have that, you don't go any further.
Look, anything that you can do to secure it is the right thing to do. But, you know, there's a mentality in the corporate world that high-level executives view security in any way as a competitor,
mm-hmm.
as a competitor to profits, to making profits, because security by its very nature wants to keep the doors locked, wants to keep the secrets secret. And marketing doesn't work that way. Business works in an atmosphere of trust. Business works to sell products or services, and you can't do that if you handcuff your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there's that constant tension between the two. So executives and companies have to wake up to the fact that security is a reality, and the more times they get burnt, the more they're going to realize it. Business identity theft costs $220 billion a year. Now, why? It's easier to perform identity theft on a company than it is on a person.
Right.
People have social security numbers. We do our best to keep it quiet. Businesses have numbers too. They're called Secretary of State filings. Your FEIN number is there.
Yeah.
businesses have larger bank accounts. And as I said, they operate in an atmosphere of trust. So businesses are much more vulnerable to identity theft than even your everyday person is.
So we talked about a few things. We talked about checking your credit every so often. We talked about putting some limits on your credit so you get warnings. We talked about having your information in the cloud. And I would think for an average person, these sound like big things. They're not. They're not that complicated. But you might need to hire an IT guy and pay him $100 or $200 to make sure all of that's set up for you. That's to me, legit. You go to a dentist when your tooth hurts. You go to the car guy when your car hurts. You need to do your data the same way. What beyond that? What would you suggest people should start doing and not doing?
Well, vigilance. Hmm. Vigilance. Pay attention to what's going on. When you get an email that looks good, but there's something about it that doesn't make sense. Like, right, the English is off. It's not – they don't – the sentences are not constructed properly, right, you know. So this is coming from another country. Don't click on it, for heaven's sakes. Or you get an email from somebody and it has their name, but then there's something about it that isn't right. Like you said, the guy is from South America, stuck without money. Don't click on these things. Just don't click on them.
Especially with attachments. I know, I doubt that a day goes by I don't get something that just says, hey, I thought you might want to see this, and it's got an attachment. And in my mind, it's what they call phishing with a P, and in effect, they just want you to load down some malware, some file that's going to do damage on your computer, or take your email address and do it to all the people you know. So if you're right. It's like the ads say. If you see something, say something. Or if you see something that doesn't make sense, don't start opening it and trying to figure it out. I use Outlook. I'm just an old corporate guy, and
that's
Outlook,
right,
works.
Right.
And it's probably the best and most secure system, but it's not foolproof. But if I see something that's annoying to me, I'll say, never show me that email again, and it goes right in the bit bucket. I don't respond and say, take me off the list. I just delete it. Because if you respond,
you're already
acknowledging you exist, and they're going to start selling your name to other people that are trying to get through to you.
Right.
So you, and Google does the same thing. Google has a very good email system where you can just say, I just put these in the garbage when they come in, and then once a day I just empty the garbage, and that's what they are. But you've got so many people that don't know what they're doing data wise that think they know what they're doing. It's scary. And I, Joe Peters, who ran multi-billion-dollar corporations, have an IT consultant that I probably spend in the course of a year $300 or $400 with just to make sure I'm safe.
Yesterday, and this is the absolute truth, yesterday I took my computer up to my guy in Washington, New Jersey. He does my computer, RX is his name.
Yeah.
And Tom, I said, Tom, do your thing. Just because I do that periodically, even though I know what to watch out for, I took it up there. I can't tell you how many viruses and malware he found in my computer,
right. Because
there are legitimate things that I do want to download. There, right. When I do my background research for clients, investigation work,
right. You
don't know what's piggybacking along into the things. If I want to go into Boca Raton, Florida's government county clerk's office. So I go in there and I root around and I get my information. I come back out. I don't know that I'm coming back out with a virus.
Right. See? That's a legitimate.
So thing. You say, well, no, it's the clerk's office. Can't be. Baloney.
So let's take a station break. Before we do, I'm talking with David Watts. My name is Joe Peters. I sell real estate, and I also am very involved in the county, as some of you may know by now from my previous shows. I can be reached at 908-238-0118 or just go to my site, jpeters.com. And David could be reached just as easily. What's the best phone number, David?
908-328-0118. 5114.
And what you may want to do is just give David a call and say, David, maybe we should sit down for an hour. I mean, you know, David will do anything exploratory for a few minutes, but if you can spend an hour, he's probably going to get a nominal fee for it, but he can help you figure out what you should be doing. Anyway, let's go to some commercials, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
So I don't have music like that, but that was a great commercial. It has this emphatic music to close out that you don't forget it. It's Joe Peters sitting here talking to David Watson. We're talking about identity theft. And while we were off the air, we talked about people who don't know they don't know. And I think that's half the battle in most of the world. People don't know they don't know. And let me give you an example of what that means. A kid thinks he knows how to drive a car until he runs into a tree. Then he starts to know he doesn't know. And then he can be trained. And this is very much like that. You may think you're safe. You may think it can happen to you. You're wrong. You really need to take some precautions. You need to monitor your own credit. You need to make sure your files are backed up and maybe operate out of a cloud so that you've got some protection there. And even then, you have to take some extra precautions. So, David, you go around the county and the area giving talks on this, and you've written a great book. I've read it, The Accidental PI. How did you get started on this?
Identity theft?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting story. Well, we spend winters in Florida, and I was cruising around on the internet, and I saw that a young lady in Naples who has a private investigator's license, I knew the fellow that owned it beforehand, and she bought the business from him. She was giving an all-day seminar on identity theft.
Wow.
On a Saturday. So, you know, I'm going to sign up for this. So I went down. Her name is Carrie Kerski, K-E-R-S-K-I-E. She wrote a book, Identity Theft, What You Need to Know.
Okay.
I went down there and I took that program with her all day. There were about 30 of us that went. And it was unbelievable. It was like the sun rose.
Wow.
It was an epiphany for me because I had been working fraud for corporations, for J&J and Lockheed, all of the major Procter & Gamble, Colgate-Palmolive. all our big clients. And here it was an area of fraud I had not really run across very much.
Mm-hmm.
So she started an organization called the Association of Certified Identity Theft Investigators. Hmm. I passed the test, joined it, and so forth. And I've been at it ever since. It's been a passion of mine.
Nice.
to get the word out to people. It's only been 3 years, but it's been a heck of a ride because I am learning every day. I put out a newsletter called Scammer Central.
Yeah.
I sent you a copy of that, didn't I, Joe? And every month I come up with a half dozen, seven, eight articles that I pull from various sources that I think my readers will be interested in. And it's free, and I don't pass the list on to anyone else. And if anybody's interested in receiving this free newsletter, they can just call me at 908-328-5114.
328-5114. I think awareness. You remember this movie, Strange Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yes.
Like 30 years ago already. Good grief. Gene Wilder's gone. My God, where's life going?
I know.
He came out with a shaky hand, said, "This is my shooting hand." I mean, he was the funniest guy going.
Yeah.
He really was. But Strange Encounters of the Third Kind said the first kind was knowledge.
Knowledge.
And then the second was sight, and the third was interreaction. And I've never forgotten that because knowledge is so important.
Knowledge is power.
You got it. You can start to do something with it.
Yeah.
So now, guys, boys and girls, as we like to say, you've got some of this information out there. Do something with it. Get into a conversation with your better half this evening saying, how are we protecting ourselves against identity theft? There are some little $20, and I had a woman on about 4 weeks ago who did it, and it's an ID, identity theft, and credit protection, where you can buy it, and they're not bad. You're going to use their lawyer. That may be something you don't want to do, but, you know, at least they're watching for you, and you've got some stuff. Or you can get into this really in-depth and say, maybe I should have a consultant come in and look at what I do. Let's say you do income tax for other people. That would scare the daylights out of me that somebody can get into that information through your site. Well, and then
CPAs are the new target
for
these hackers.
Wow.
Yeah. Because all the information's there.
The other thing that's becoming Wi-Fi, and if people haven't thought it out, the difference between Wi-Fi and a direct connect is Wi-Fi is free, and you can connect to it as long as you have the password. Sometimes it's not even a password. But that means anybody can watch what you're doing. So if you go into a hotel and you're using their free Wi-Fi, that doesn't mean somebody isn't watching every keystroke you're making. So you may not want to do your banking from a hotel. Okay? So there's some do's and don'ts, and Wi-Fi will become ubiquitous. For example, I can hit a little application, which I'm doing while we're talking, and I can turn the thermostat on in my house, and I can tell you that my house is now sitting at, and it wants me to log in, but it'll say it's sitting at 74 degrees with the air conditioning.
I can do the same thing with my cameras. When I'm in Florida,
yeah,
I have 8 or 9 cameras up around the house, and I can watch how deep the snow is getting.
Right.
I can watch the whole place. Now, that means anybody else can, too.
Exactly. And that's the scary part, is how well is that protected?
So
we're becoming more and more wired. My car, and I have a Chevy. I'm not driving in an elaborate car. But my Chevy has a hotspot in it. It's the one you see on the commercials each night. And it also has a system called OnStar, which I pay about $30 a month, and allows me to talk the directions. Since I'm a realtor, I'm driving around, I'm always going someplace, and I hit the button, I talk to somebody in South Carolina, and they send me there. I don't have to stop and tap it in. But it also sends me an email if one of the tires is going flat. I think it's great, but because we've automated so much of this stuff, and it's so great, it means we're leaving ourselves open to other things. What, and I've seen it on the news, you probably have as well, where people have hacked into a car and they can make them crash or stop or blow up or whatever.
Yeah.
So every time we open a door and we get a little bit more automated, you then are leaving yourself open for other people with devious intentions to hack into you.
Well, for every invention, there's a downside somehow, somewhere. Yeah. That's...
So what I did, remember about 3 summers ago, I was in Florida and it got cold. And I always leave the heat on at about 38 when I go away. And, okay, I don't want to pay the heat, but I don't want it to freeze either. And I was a little afraid that maybe it shut itself off or something. It was a power failure. And I got this smart thermostat just so that when I am away, I can check the temperature at home. And actually, as a matter of fact, we were in Canada for 2 weeks, and I shut it off. And we had that heat spell. And Marilyn said, you better turn it back on. The plants are all going to be croaked by the time. She's more worried about her plants than she's about me. But I did. I turned it back on and left it at 78 so that the plants had a little breathing room while we're away. So Wi-Fi becomes ubiquitous over time. But Wi-Fi is not secure. If you have Wi-Fi in your house, if you're in my house, my Wi-Fi is secure. I have a very secure key on it. That doesn't mean it can't be hacked, but it's more than a lot of people have, because a lot of people have the dog's first name, the wife's middle name, their birthday.
But Joe, Wi-Fi is like you and I having our conversations while the commercial's going.
Right.
However, maybe we don't know if we're on the air or not. You know what I mean? That's what Wi-Fi is all about. I mean, it's just wide open.
The Wi-Fi is like what the Internet was. 10 years ago, you needed a telephone to get on. They went from 48 to 96 to 19.2, and now we're on it all the time, and we're going a million bytes an hour. So the Internet has become ubiquitous. We're always on, and Wi-Fi is. We're about a year or two away from there being a Wi-Fi everywhere, but that doesn't mean it's secure. It just means you have access.
It actually means it's not secure.
Right. That's a good point.
It really is. It is not secure.
So now, what can you do to protect yourself? You yourself can put what's a VPN, and that's called a tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to my IT days. So VPN encrypts on this end and then decrypts on the other end. And you have to set it up. So you can protect.
Some of them are free.
And some are free. And if you get into a Microsoft Windows 10 machine, it's done for you automatically. You have an automatic VPN. And some of the browsers have it and whatever. But the average person says, I don't got time to worry about that. You better worry a little bit because it can happen and it will happen to you. And I think that's the message that we're
There's one thing that I didn't mention before. I neglected to mention during the more simple part of this, the credit card stuff. Never, ever use your debit card online to buy something. Do not go to anywhere and use your debit card online to buy. Why? Because a debit card is a direct shot into your bank account.
Right.
I mean, your credit card, if you use your credit card, at least it stops with the credit card company and it stops with the credit bureau. But with your debit card, you might as well give everybody in the world your bank account number.
That's interesting. That's interesting because most of my purchases are made debit card, and so I'm breaking what you feel is a cardinal rule there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's now I'm one of those people that I've got six different bank accounts because we have a joint account for our joint expenses. We have individual accounts. We have a business account. I've got an eBay account for stuff I do. I have a Weichert account. So I've got that. But every morning I balance them. So if something happened, they didn't get past 24 hours.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah. But it's easy to do. It's 5 minutes a day if you set it up as a discipline.
But it's on computer.
Yeah. But so while I'm checking it, my accounts are open.
That's right.
So, you know, it's yay, boo.
That's
know,
right.
Yang, yang.
That's right, exactly.
Two sides to everything. Yeah. So we're getting into a wired world. We're getting into where your car can tell you one of the tires are going flat or it's time to change the oil. We're getting into a point where your doctor can look up information everywhere, but we're getting into it at a cost. And the cost is hackers. Some of them are just malicious. Some of them are financially with the wrong intention. And some of them are major crime syndicates have access to your data more and more and more because there's so many access
points. Some of them are nation states.
Yeah. That's a scary thought. And who doubts that China isn't doing that? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sued by China, but David says some of it are nation states. And they can get sued. But we all hear on the news every night. And I'll give you a good example. We do, we put rentals out on, David just did a kaboing over there. We put rentals out on a site called, what is it? Where do you go buy and sell stuff? It's not Wayne's World, but it's something like that. And let's not even mention the site. But if I put a rental out on a site, we know from real estate that there's a very high chance that that will get cloned. And your rental for $1,800 or your house that's for sale for $400,000 will show up as a rental for $900 with some foreign email. They'll say, go around the back of the house, break a window, I'm not home, take a look at it. If you want it, send me the $900 and I'll send you the lease. And it's like too good to believe. You should say something wrong. This doesn't make sense. Break a window. It doesn't make sense. It's half price. But people are stupid. And
some people
are more stupid than others. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So we don't use that site anymore to put houses up because it's been cloned. And it's like that Nigerian prince that's writing you to, if he only got $1,200, he could give you half his $28 million. I mean, you know, you've gotten a little gun shy because you've seen so many stories, but every day there's a new.
Well, they've gotten better at it as well. You know, the thing too, another cardinal rule is don't answer anything on the computer if you haven't initiated it. Same with the phone. Somebody calls you and has a deal for you.
Mm-hmm.
You say, you know what? I'm familiar with your company. I'm going to call you back. And you call back on a phone number that you know is legitimate.
Right.
Same thing with the website. Somebody contacts you, and it really looks good, and it's something that it's almost normal for you. But it's always better. And the guy at the other end, even if he is legitimate, and he hears you say that, he should feel good about it.
Right. I know when I ran Macy's IT in Herald Square. And we would have an outside vendor called us. We called them back before we'd connect them to the computer. I mean, this was going back
absolutely,
in the 80s.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't let them into our computer unless we called them on a secure
you
number.
Initiate
yeah.
the contact,
yeah.
the interaction.
They say we're ready, and we'd call them back. Now, that's 30-plus years ago. You can imagine what's going
on. Well, it's basic,
today.
Yeah. But people don't because of expediency, because of time.
We also had the rules. We would go. We had like 32 different data centers around the country, and we'd go in and we'd say, okay, the rule is you can't go back. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, your data center's gone. You cannot go back. The building has been hit by a bomb. It is nothing but rubble. You have to run business tomorrow. I need a plan put together in order for you to do that. It's called data security, data backup and security. And they'd say, well, how do I start? I said, the good news is we thought it out and have what needs to be in it, and we'd give them an outline. But I said, we'll come back in 30 days to see how you're doing. And we'd have to make sure all of our – so it was a department store called Donaldson's in Minneapolis. They used to take their tapes and put it in the bank vault so that if the building ever burnt down, it was in the bank vault. So I get the call from the VP of IT from Donaldson saying, I got one for you. I said, okay, let me have it. He says, what happens when a bank burns down? No kidding. The bank with his tapes in it burnt down.
And the tapes melted, of course.
Yeah, of course. They were worthless. Of course, they were copies, it was just a funny incident that sometimes you back up. But you got to think that way. What happens if somebody gets into this information that I'm looking at? Well, my six checking accounts that I run my life and my business with. I've taken some precautions. I run everything I run runs on Windows 10. Windows 10 is VPN'd, so I've got a tunnel where it's encrypted. But they're smarter than that. They can figure that out.
Let me give you a brief scenario here for the business aspect of it. Let's say ABC Company has 300 employees. They have a warehouse. They have an accounting department, administration, and so forth. And they sell widgets. Okay. Now let's just say that the company's president and the principal people don't answer the phone and accept the orders for widgets. They don't do that.
Right.
They have people that they hire, and those people are called employees, right? So the employees take the calls, take the orders, fill out this thing on the computer, it shoots to the warehouse, and shipping gets involved, and off the widgets go somewhere. Yeah. Okay. Now, these people do this repeatedly, repetition, all day long. I'm a bad guy now. I watch this company. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over to Pennsylvania. I'm going to rent a warehouse. I know who their vendors are now because I followed one of those trucks all around, and I know who all their vendors are.
Right.
I know who they're selling things to, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rent a warehouse. I'm going to call them. Representing myself to be one of those people that buys things from them in bulk all the time.
Yep.
I'm going to order, and they're going to send me 10,000 widgets.
Yep.
But it's an emergency. I've got to have them tomorrow. They're going to be shipped over to Europe. I've got to have them. tomorrow. The widgets arrive. Why? Because the person on the phone recognizes the person they're selling. They right. recognize the company. They're sending it to an address that has that company's name.
Yep.
The widgets arrive. They get into the warehouse. And, of course, the next day or that evening, they're out of the warehouse. And when they send the invoice to the company that's the legitimate company, they say, we never ordered it.
Yeah. It's like this thing.
How do you protect yourself against that? See? It's employees not calling back, not rechecking. That's that.
We had something happen, and we got to end up in about 30 seconds. But I remember it was where it was. It was up in Connecticut, and one of our outfits found out that another outfit knew about what they were doing. It was sort of a top secret project, and they started this like, who's talking to who? Who's got loose lips sink ships? And they did a bunch of investigations. Found out the two company presidents played golf each Tuesday, and they told each other. It's like, okay, so loose lips sink ships at all levels.
Absolutely.
I've been sitting here. This is Joe Peters with Weichert, and David Watts has been sitting here. He's the author of Accidental PI. The book is available on all the bookstores, or you can buy it.